800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The FBI offering a $100,000 reward and has released a photo of a person of interest following the fatal shooting of conservative commentator Charlie Kirk at a campus event at Utah Valley University. ABC's Pierre Thomas has more.
I'm told by sources it's from surveillance footage in and around the area where the shooting took place. This appears to be a male person wearing sunshades and a baseball cap. The FBI very much wants to talk to that person, and they're asking for the public's help in identifying this person so that they can get access to them and begin to interview them.
Law enforcement sources tell ABC News they've also recovered a high-powered rifle near the campus. Ceremonies today marking 24 years since the 9/11 attacks. President Trump delivered remarks at the Pentagon, the White House moving the ceremony to a courtyard following yesterday's shooting. Consumer prices rose last month compared to a year ago. Americans paying more for nearly everything. This is ABC News. Police in Colorado say they don't have an exact motive in yesterday's high school shooting. Two students were wounded, and authorities identified the suspect and say he died of self-inflicted wounds.
16-year-old Desmond Hawley, investigators say, rode the bus to Evergreen High School on Wednesday with a revolver, using it to shoot fellow students on campus. They believe he had been radicalized by an extremist network. Details on that aren't yet clear. Jackie Kelly with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says lockdown drills worked. The shooter could not advance because students and staff hid behind locked doors.
The students and the staff at the school were amazing. They did their job. They did it well. And lives were saved yesterday.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
First-time applications for jobless benefits were 263,000, an increase of 27,000 from the week before. And the average rate on a 30-year U.S. mortgage fell this week to its lowest level in almost a year. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin parents and educators need to be able to talk to kids about safe online behavior, especially when it comes to intimate photos that can be used for sextortion. Call says it's a growing threat to young people.
The best way to protect children online is through maintaining and creating open lines of communication with your kids. By giving them the tools to identify unsafe and unhealthy relationships, and to reach out for help if it's needed.
Wisconsin DOJ has resources available through the Office of School Safety to help kids learn how to be good online citizens. The state legislature is considering a bill that would criminalize sextortion, which is threatening to release someone's images unless they pay up. A student's accused of having a gun at a Madison high school.
A 17-year-old who attends La Follette High School in Madison arrested after school staff received a report that he brought a gun on Tuesday before hiding the weapon and returning to school. That's according to a Madison Police Department incident report cited by WKOW. Officers found an unloaded handgun in a yard, ammunition in the student's backpack, and a cell phone photo of the student holding the gun and dressed in the same clothes he wore to school. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bill at the Capitol would expand Wisconsin's move-over law to require drivers to move over for any disabled vehicle and not just emergency vehicles. Hubertus Republican Representative Jim Piovarczyk is the bill's co-author.
The law as it stands doesn't protect ordinary motorists, the parent waiting in the car with a child for a tow truck, the teenager trying to change a flat tire, or the Good Samaritan who pulls over to help someone in distress.
If the legislation gets signed into law, Wisconsin would become the 20th state to expand move-over laws. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. You can expect another beautiful September day with partly sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid-70s, barely any wind as well. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, even warmer with plenty of sunshine, feeling like summer with highs in the lower 80s. The bathroom you always wanted, interest and payment-free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet at 800-329-4115. Currently, it's 73.
Here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on the program today, we're going to have some conversations about the latest MAHA Commission report. A lot of positive reaction from agriculture. We're going to hear from Alexandra Dunn with Crop Life America. She'll join us to give us their take in segment three. Then in segment four, we'll hear from Darren Kopic with the Ag Retailers Association, get his thoughts on the MAHA Commission reports and more. In segment two, I was able to talk last week with Jim Thompson from the North Dakota Soybean Council and Justin Sherlock from the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association to get an update on the situation across North Dakota when it comes to soybeans, basis and trade issues with China and more. We're going to listen to that conversation coming up here in just a little bit. So a lot to get to here on AOA today. Let's kick it off with markets. Joining us now, Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, good to have you back with us here on the show today. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Well, as we look at this market trade, I know a lot of folks are gearing up for the September WASDE report. That's out Friday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, kind of just squaring their positions, that old adage here in this market. But there's some other things going on, though, too. I know you and I have chatted about this, some of the war pressure in Europe potentially having an impact here. We had weekly export sales out Thursday morning. What are you tracking in the grains here ahead of this end of the week action with the WASDE report?
You know, the soybean-led recovery today is much needed, as it's been kind of the hole in the bucket this week, exactly because of what you said in my mind, Jesse, and that goes back to President Trump asking the EU to go ahead and try and stop and cut off the flow of Russia's oil to stop it from being able to feed its war machine. And it's asking the European Union to do that. It did that almost immediately after that, it seemed, We saw Russian drones hit into Poland, and so now the NATO countries are impacted by the Russian war effort, and it probably increases the likelihood that the Europeans will go ahead and do as President Trump has asked. We also see that Mexico now in the last 24 hours has put, I think, a 50% tariff on imported cars targeting China. That also was from a request by the U.S. So what I'm getting at is that the idea in the trade has been maybe we can get a U.S.-China trade deal hammered out before these tariff this tariff lull in November goes away. But the odds of that's pretty low. So I think it puts more pressure on the WASDE report to give us good numbers so that the beans can find support again in the aftermath of the September numbers like they did last year. We've been running very closely to last year's price action since the August WASDE report, where the beans made the low first. After a couple, 3 weeks, they cooled off. Corn took over the leadership to the upside. We've got four straight weeks higher in the corn, working on our fifth one right now. But now as we get to mid-September, if we play it like we did last year, September comes in and finds some support in the beans again, and that gives us maybe a better opportunity to get those off the combine sales made and also get a better idea what our yields are looking like.
Out of the major commodities here, you know, soybeans, you mentioned it leading the rally Thursday, but would you say there's more concern overall in this soy complex versus, say, corn, wheat, cotton, even others, et cetera, just considering the trade issues and the basis impacts we've been seeing and things of that nature, Mike?
Yeah, I think so, especially given the fact that we've shut the border down with Mexico due to the screw worm. They're going to keep buying a lot of corn. We've got cheap corn prices here in the United States. We're going to keep feeding out heavier weights. It seems as though other countries are they're jumping on board and getting more of soybeans from us than before in a lot of different oddball countries. It's nice to see, but the corn seems a lot more consistent at this stage of the game. But I think here again, Jesse, you bring up a big point. That's where the report comes into play. Does the USDA give us a tighter Ukrainian corn crop, a tighter European corn crop, or do they come in and keep the corn in Europe and Ukraine the same and raise Brazil's corn crop and gives the market the idea that there's going to be plenty of competition as we get ready to really roll in the combines. And I think this is really important that we've had this dry weather time period in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio because their good to excellent conditions are either the worst in 5 years or the second worst in 5 years. Again, very similar to what we dealt with last year at this time. What we're seeing this year that's different is the basis in the Western Corn Belt. It's being hammered a lot more in the soy complex. And so net-net, I would say, yeah, soybeans probably a lot weaker. China's trying to cut their hog herd back some. So we're wondering whether we're going to get the meal demand. And then earlier this week, we started to talk about the RFS mandate and big oil states wanting us to, wanting the Trump administration to dial back some of the RFS and some of those older numbers that we looked at a couple weeks ago, thinking that we would blend more and wouldn't be given as many credits.
Your thoughts over in this livestock complex here, Mike, as well. Hogs, a little bit of green in front months again. Looked like we had some pork sales to China on the weekly numbers here out Thursday morning. Cattle trade mixed in futures as well. What are you tracking in the proteins?
Yeah, we're not seeing much of a pullback in the cash cattle or the cash feeders. I think it was Beaver, Oklahoma yesterday had the third highest sale in Oklahoma history. Some seven weights went for, I believe it was 407, if memory serves me right. So the cash is holding very nicely, even though the box beef is slipping. So we brought some stability to the cattle. It's very important to close strong this week. I'll be watching those cattle numbers, exports and imports, production numbers on the WASDE report very closely. You bring in the hogs, they were down about 35%. From the four-week average on their export sales this morning, even though China was the number one buyer. I still feel like it's mostly a hedging opportunity in the hogs when you get some rallies led by the cattle, especially, Jesse.
Final thoughts, Mike? We got about a minute here. Anything you would add or reiterate to folks today?
The only thing I would say is the August CPI came in hotter than expected at plus 2.9%. That's the biggest increase since January. That has weakened the U.S. dollar and kept us down near the monthly lows. That, too, is going to be a real important feature as we get into the combines. I would say as we get into the combines, take a look at your basis, take a look at your fields, and if you feel like you're going to lose some yields, maybe leave the basis open as you do your marketing here in the short term until you get a better feel for what the yield numbers are. Otherwise, thoughts and prayers to everybody that has been impacted by 9/11 over the years. It's a very fresh memory in my mind, as I'm sure it is in a lot of people in their late 50s to mid 70s, and that happening again at our anniversary today with that.
Well, as always, we remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. Folks can go to globalcomresearch.com, globalcom with two M's, research.com for more. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for being with us today on AOA.
Thanks so much for having me, Jesse. Have a great week, sir.
You as well. Mike Zuzulo with us here from Global Commodity Analytics. Always appreciate his time and thoughts. Coming up next on the show, we are going to listen to a conversation I had last week about the soybean issues in North Dakota with Jim Thompson from the North Dakota Soybean Council and Justin Sherlock from the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. Up next on AOA.
Hey, it's Eli Wenders. Just a reminder, if you're feeling low, you're not alone. Life can get tough, and we all need a hand sometimes. Don't be afraid to talk to someone, even if it's just to get things off your chest. You have to take care of yourself so you can take care of business. Remember, there's no shame in asking for help. You've got people who care about you. Reach out if you need to, and check in on those you care about too. We're all in this together. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Last week, I was able to sit down for a conversation and discuss the current situation when it comes to North Dakota soybeans amid trade and export issues with China. A lot of talk of bases crumbling in the state and around the Northern Plains, as well as storage issues for many elevators stemming from this summer's severe weather as we head into harvest. We talked about it with Jim Thompson, chairman of the North Dakota Soybean Council, and Justin Sherlock, president of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. Just talk about the overall situation. Justin, if you want to start, I mean, your perspective on where things stand as we enter harvest time.
Well, you know, from our perspective, we're starting to hear from some of our members, you know, really starting to be concerned about where are they physically going to put the soybeans come harvest. I just came from working on one of my grain bins, a fan for the barley and wheat that's in my bins. And, you know, I don't have a lot of room for soybeans typically either. We don't typically store a lot of soybeans historically. We put them on a shuttle train and at the elevator and send them out to the P&W right away. So, you know, we're starting to hear from members. They're concerned. Elevators are, it's a mixed message. Some elevators say they'll take some. Some are saying they might turn people away. So at the end of the day, you know, we don't have a deal with China. We've entered the new marketing year as of September 1st. China has not committed to any new purchases of new crop soybeans. So this is kind of a first. This is new territory for us, and we really need to get these trade deals finished and get a deal with China, get these markets reopened, because our producers need to be able to sell and move this product.
Jim, your perspective on this, and I know, of course, with the checkoff and more, I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into building these export markets. And for North Dakota, especially to Justin's point, a lot of these beans typically go out on shuttle trains to the PNW. What's your perspective on this situation?
Yeah, I think perfectly to piggyback after what Justin said is we spent the better part of 40 years developing these relationships with Southeast Asia, and then in turn developing our infrastructure in North Dakota to be the most reliable, efficient shipper of whole soybeans to markets like China and Vietnam and Southeast Asia and in Indonesia and whatnot. But China is the big elephant in the room, if you will. And 80% of North Dakota soybeans used to be exported through the PNW to Southeast Asia. Now, with the addition of two crush plants, that's more, you know, 50-55%. But China accounts for the majority of that. There's nothing that could take the place of China. So yeah, it's a total different shift of thinking for us at harvest this year, when the basis is screaming at you that, hey guys, you can't bring these beans in. We have nowhere to put them. We have nowhere to take them. And you can't really blame the elevators for that, because they don't have an outlet for them. So, yeah, it's just it's a whole paradigm shift in thinking this fall. And unfortunately, of course, with the storms we've had this summer and the lack of storage, and, you know, the numbers we've seen is anywhere from 10 to 12 to 14 million bushels of storage is out of the equation right now. So, yeah, it's just uncharted territory for us this year.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the storage issue, Jim, because I know that's something we've followed for the last several months, of course, since all those storms rolled through North Dakota. And Justin, you and I talked about it not long after those storms rolled through. And, you know, we kind of knew then that this was going to be a problem come harvest season, because it's not like you can throw up a grain bin extremely quickly. I mean, all the storage, to Jim's point, that we've lost, it's not something that can get rebuilt overnight, and that's going to be a key piece of the struggle here, it sounds like, this harvest season.
Yeah, and honestly, when we spoke, you know, a while back about that, I don't recall if we even talked about storing soybeans. At the time, we were just saying, how are guys going to store their corn crop if their facilities are out of commission? And now, you know, here we are having to plan to store soybeans. And you know, last time when we had a trade war, that's what a lot of guys did do. A lot of soybeans were stored in those, we call them pop cans in my area, all those little 3,000 to 5,000 bushel bins on the corners of fields that our grandparents, you know, built generations ago. We haven't used them for a long time, but, you know, they come in handy. But the derecho wiped most of those out in my area. So, guys are really concerned. They're calling saying, what are we physically even going to do with the crop? You know, it also gets to the economics. You know, soybeans historically are what paid the bills in the fall. You sold soybeans in the fall to cash flow, to make your land payments, your equipment payments, prepay for inputs for next year. It's just changing the dynamic significantly. And You know, boy, 2026 could be a real problem going into that too. As if we don't resolve these trade issues soon, if we don't get the, you know, we have lots of agreements with Southeastern Asian countries in particular that we can ship to out of the PNW, but we don't have those agreements signed yet. We've been told they're done. Well, let's get them signed. Let's get those ones across the finish line, start selling to those customers. I'm sure they're waiting to do business till we have a signed agreement. I wouldn't want to do business with someone if I'm going to get slapped with a different tariff a week from now than I planned on, because tariffs are taxes. And, you know, they don't want to be surprised with a new business expense. So if we don't solve this soon, and if we don't get China back in the market, you know, what could be hopefully a short-term problem that we can hopefully resolve and work through, this could turn into a multi-year surplus of crops that just is going to be really hard and lead to a major downturn in the ag and rural economy. So this is a really big deal to get these trade deals sorted out.
Yeah, and Jim, to piggyback off what Justin said, I mean, obviously you guys have both mentioned, you know, growers reaching out to the Soybean Council, soybean growers, asking what they can do. You know, and I know in terms of the Soybean Council, I mean, you guys have, to your point earlier, invested so much into building these export markets and finding new uses. But, you know, again, China, that elephant in the room. So, I mean, you know, your thoughts, what can producers do here? Is there anything they could do to work with, say, the Soybean Council here as we work through the fall months, Jim?
You know, I guess I look at the Soybean Council as maybe a source of information and resources for producers who are looking for connections to, you know, any type of idea or solution that, you know, maybe we can be a bridge to, and we're always open to that. You know, we've always got our ears open, and our staff is really fantastic at digesting news every day that they're hearing and passing it on to us so that we can talk to our, you know, the people that we represent from our districts. And you know, to put it in perspective how important China is for us as a whole, you know, we are the fourth largest state for producing in planted and harvested acreage of soybeans, and the eighth largest producer bushel wise for soybeans. I mean, we're not just a dot on the map. I mean, we are a major producer. So something like this, when we depend on that end user, it really puts us in a bind. So, I mean, guys are considering flat storage. They're considering putting them in bags temporarily. Elevators are conditioning their flat storage areas and even pouring new ones. So, I mean, there's solutions being made, but, you know, looking down the road, we've tried to make inroads with other markets, and we've honestly got our foot in the door in a lot of other Southeastern Asian markets, but their infrastructure isn't caught up to what China's is, and not near as big. And of course, we've got big ships leaving the PNW. They can't always get into where they need to be. So it takes a long time to build up that market. And that's why we touched on, you know, it took us 40 years to get where we were at with China. So it's not just something that can happen in one marketing season, let alone the 2 to 3 month window Justin alluded to that we really have, which is now slipping further and further away from us. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's just all about transparency and open information and dialogues, and Justin and I talking, and Justin and I talking with our boards, and just keeping, you know, up to date with what's transpiring here every day.
Well, and thinking about this, Justin, I'm sure as well, you could speak to this, you know, why it's important for producers to talk with you guys and talk with state legislators and lawmakers and talk with their congressional leaders on, you know, on Capitol Hill, or finding ways to get their message to them. I mean, I think our elected leaders, this is something where they need to understand how serious this situation is, right, Justin?
Well, it is. And, you know, by all means, become a member if you're not. but, you know, I think for so long, farmers were just used to organizations such as ours, such as the Growers Association, representing them on policy issues. But really, we do need everyone to reach out to our congressional offices, you know, reach out to the White House, let them know if you're, you know, hey, we rely on these exports, we rely on these trade agreements to move this product. Agriculture is the backbone of rural North Dakota. If our farmers are suffering and hurting and can't pay their bills, that hurts all the rest of our businesses and our small rural communities. So it has a knock-on effect that we haven't even begun to really feel, but it's going to, you know, really hurt our small communities and our rural banks, our rural cafes, our the barbershop. Every single business in rural North Dakota depends on the farmers as that core base economy. So we've got to fix this. We're running out of time. Every week that we're not shipping soybeans is one, another week that we're losing that marketing opportunity before we're up against another big Brazilian crop probably coming next year. So, you know, time is slipping away from us. This is our export window, and we're missing out on it. So, time is of the essence. You know, make noise. This is the time to make noise. Make your voice heard. Let them know we need these markets back.
Again, my conversation last week with Justin Sherlock and Jim Thompson talking about North Dakota soybeans. Up next, we'll hear from Alexander Dunn with Crop Life America right here on AOA.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
In Argentina.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 24 to 16.32. November down 26 to 16.32. December down 22 to 16.78. January down 7 at 16.97. Triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets as the trade decided to start covering some of those short positions after the big sell-off over the last few days. Now, while there has been some cash bids, not a lot of cash activities yet in the market. Hog markets, meanwhile, were also mostly higher, especially in the nearby months. A lot of this was continued technical buying. October live cattle up $1.12 to $232.27. September feeder cattle up $2.02 to $355.22. October hogs up $1.35 to $98.17. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher. A lot of positioning ahead of tomorrow's WASDE report from USDA. Also talked that there could be some possible Chinese purchases of beans coming down the road. Really helped to support the soybean markets as well. September corn up 1¾ to $3.99. December up 2¾ to $4.19¾. September beans up 9¾ to $10.15¼. November up 8¼ to $10.33½. September wheat up 8 to $5.03. With this market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owners agent serving the Durand area is Ansay & Associates, downtown Durand.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.org.
Information. information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here today on Agriculture of America, earlier this week, we saw the second Make America Healthy Again Commission report released. Highly anticipated report from the MAHA Commission from folks throughout the agriculture sector, and largely a positive reaction to this report and what it had to say about pesticide use in agriculture and more as we look at making kids and children's health a priority and much more. Let's talk about this. Joining us for a conversation and for perspective, she is president and CEO for Crop Life America, Alexandra Dunn. Alex, it is great to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Jesse, I'm great this morning. Really good to talk to you.
Well, just for starters, I kind of mentioned a lot of folks happy with the MAHA Commission's second report. Was that the view of Crop Life America? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, your listeners might remember that a report came out from the MAHA Commission that was about 65, almost 70 pages long in May. And it had a lot of comments about farming and agriculture and pesticides that got the agriculture community and farmers pretty upset, because it didn't say directly, but pretty well hinted that there was something unhealthy and unsafe even about how we were growing food in America, and particularly how herbicides and insecticides, fungicides are being used by growers in a way that they were making Americans unhealthy and particularly children unhealthy. And like I said, that May report kind of never directly said it, but there were just so many hints about it. And from May till just 2 days ago, when this second report came out, the ag community just really activated talking to the White House and officials at all the federal agencies. And I'm just going to say that, you know, we had a whole sort of a bumper sticker called Farmer Voices Matter, mm-hmm. you know, and getting the farmers out there being heard. And I'll tell you, Jesse, it made a difference in this report that came out 2 days ago.
Well, and I know, too, a lot of that talk that you mentioned, a lot of advocacy from agriculture, you know, at the heart of this, there's a lot of things at the heart of this. But from an ag perspective, you know, this was something that was concerning, you know, could we lose a lot of these crop protection tools that have been verified and backed by science now for 50, 60 years, Alex? I mean, that was really at the heart of this. And that was a lot of the concern going into this, right?
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, who is the chair of the MAHA Commission, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he personally does not care for pesticides and had a long history of bringing lawsuits before he became secretary against many different chemistries, including glyphosate, if you just Google, you'll find that before he was Secretary of Health and Human Services, he had a podcast where he, you know, had talked about many different classes of pesticides, neonicotinoids, and just basically felt that none of them really should be out there being used. And so because he came into the office with that kind of background, you're right, Jesse, that's mm-hmm. farmers were just concerned, as were we at Crop Life America, that, you know, when someone comes in with that mindset and they're put in charge of a commission about health and children's health, and it's only natural to think, well, I mean, one of the things they might want to see happen is some of these products, maybe not all of them, but some of them taken away. And so that was a real risk that everyone saw across agriculture. And so this summer, the number of letters that were written to the White House by corn and the Farm Bureau and soybean and fruit and vegetable and all the different sectors of growing. And they basically said, we can't make Americans healthy if we can't grow an abundant, productive crop.
Yep.
And affordable. The food has to be affordable for Americans. And so that means we need a good, healthy, abundant crop. And to do that, we have to control weeds, pests, and disease. And so you really can't take these tools away from us. And we do know how to use them responsibly. And that was just kind of hit home to some of the folks who were working on this report behind the scenes for Secretary Kennedy and for the other members of the commission who didn't come from agriculture, you know. And so they were trying to do a really good job on this report, you know, not saying that they had bad intent at all, but they just didn't come from an agriculture background. And I will give them credit. They listened to the farmers. They listened to CropLife all summer. And again, the report that came out 2 days ago shows almost a total pivot on pesticides.
Alexander Dunn, President and CEO of CropLife America, joining us here today on Agriculture of America. So as we move forward, Alex, I think about this. As we start to see this strategy implemented, things of that nature, I would still have to think that as agriculture, we don't want to take our foot off the gas, I would think. We want to make sure we continue to voice our thoughts and talk about this just so we don't see a change of any sort here as all of this gets implemented. I mean, talk about that for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing to know about MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, is think about it. It's a movement and not a moment. So this strategy that came out on September 9th talks about a lot of stressors on America's children. And it basically says that there are kind of four areas that are affecting children's health, big picture, that children have kind of a poor diet, that they are exposed to chemicals and not pesticides specifically, but chemicals in a big category, that they are not getting enough physical activity and that they are under chronic stress, under a lot of stress, mental health, and that children are being given too much medication. So those are like on page three of this report that came out. So with the idea that this commission is kind of worried about children's diet, children's exposure to chemicals, children's lack of activity, children's stress, and medication of children, you can imagine that sets up a big playing field for a whole bunch of possible activities by the U.S. federal government here in Washington, D.C., kind of where I am, but also across all the states where your listeners are, that you might have governors, you might have state legislatures saying, you know what, we want to do something about this. I mean, who doesn't want to make children healthy? Mm-hmm. I'm a mom. I mean, you know, all of us, you know, have children in our lives that we care about. And I'm sure a lot of us have seen children that, you know, we care about, that we want to be healthy and thrive and grow up to be, you know, wonderful adults. And so there are going to be discussions about, like, I remember the old food pyramid, and yep. One of my employees who is not my age told me that the food pyramid went away a while ago. It's now called the food plate. And there's discussions about the food plate and like what it's supposed to look like, you know, how much carbohydrate, how much protein, how much vegetable, that's being discussed. How much exercise. I remember, because I was not good at it, the presidential fitness test. Oh, dear. I was the kid that could not climb the rope.
Same.
yeah. Well, I never got the patch. Yeah. that you could put like on your backpack. But that's coming back, the presidential physical fitness test. And there's a lot of things that are going to be talked about the food system and like school lunches and how kids eat and ultra processed foods. Now you think your listeners, Jesse, are all farmers and they're like, well, how does this impact farming? Well, they're still talking about things like high fructose corn syrup. You know, are we trying to get that out of food? Are we trying to say that like there shouldn't be soda machines around for in the school hallways? Are we saying that, you know, there shouldn't be chip machines? All of this is going to affect crops, right? Because crops are ingredients for all these things that we eat.
A lot of things to take a look at here and continue to have the conversations. CropLifeAmerica.org for more information to stay up to date on things. And Alex, always appreciate your time and insight. Thank you for making time to join the show today. And with that, we'll let you go here. We're up against the clock of this segment. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great day.
Alexander Dunn, the president and CEO for Crop Life America, joining us to talk about that Maha Commission report here on AOA. We're not done talking about the Maha report. Up next, we're going to get perspective from Darren Kopic with the Agricultural Retailers Association. He'll join us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time. The next time you're out to dinner with friends, you can order the shrimp cocktail for the table. And maybe you'll realize it only comes with four shrimp after you've already given away three, but that one shrimp will be so good. And if you switch and save hundreds, you could get shrimp all the time. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shrimp. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Working as a dedicated Fidelity advisor, I always ask, what's important to you? I'll look at those priorities and goals alongside your full financial picture to build a comprehensive plan designed to help grow and protect your wealth. With proactive portfolio insights and an eye on taxes, I'm here to help you make the most of your money. I'm Laura Maxwell, and I'm a dedicated Fidelity advisor. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
I want to take a minute to talk to you about something close to my heart. There are thousands of animals out there waiting for someone just like you to come along and change their lives. Don't worry if you think you might not be the perfect match. There are shelters and rescue organizations full of folks ready to help find the right pet for you. Visit your local shelter or check out online rescue groups today. You never know. Your new best friend might be waiting for you. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the important relationship between corn and poultry with Connie Fisher from the Kansas Corn Growers Association and Shelby Watson with the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council.
The poultry industry is such a big user of corn. You know, sometimes as a cattle producer in Kansas, I get a lot of questions about why is NCGA and Kansas Corn partnering with USAPEAC? But, you know, the industry itself uses about 2.2 billion bushels of corn a year. And so it's just natural that NCGA and USA Peak and states like Kansas and Kansas Corn are partners with them.
Considering we represent several of our feathered friends, the poultry industry as a whole, we definitely have a very, very important relationship, and I think a lot of strategy is needed in order for us to align, and we are just grateful for the buy-in from corn growers. You know, everybody wins here.
Learn more from the National Corn Growers Association at ncga.com.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. As a trusted leader in bathroom renovation, Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. Get half off installation or 18 months with no interest and no payments. Whether it's tub replacement, a shower replacement, or a tub-to-shower conversion, Bath Planet makes your custom bath fast, easy, and affordable. Here's how it works. 1. Call to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation. 2. Our design experts come to you with real samples to customize your dream bath. 3. Our certified installers complete the transformation in as little as one day. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-296-1288. That's 800-296-1288. 800-296-1288. Before the offer ends.
Farming isn't just a job. It's a way of life. But even the toughest seasons can take a toll. If you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or just not yourself, I want you to know you're not alone. Talk to someone you trust. Call a neighbor. Reach out to a professional. Your mental health matters for you, your family, and your farm or ranch. It's okay to ask for help. Brought to you by Farm and Ranch Media, standing strong with rural America.
As we continue here on Agriculture of America and continue our conversations about the second MAHA Commission report, joining us now for perspective, he is the president and CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association. Darren Kopic is with us. Darren, it's good to have you back on AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks, Jesse. Good morning.
Great to talk with you about this. We just had some conversation about it with Alexander Dunn from Crop Life America. And when we talked about it with her, mentioned that a lot of folks in agriculture happy with the outcome of this second MAHA Commission report. What about ARA? What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's an incredible improvement over where the first draft was. And through a lot of hard work and led by our colleagues at Scott Crop Life America, the report really recognizes the importance of having tools in the toolbox for growers to be able to produce the food that we need and for having a science-based regulatory process that fairly and objectively evaluates those tools. So we're quite happy with where the movement happened in the pesticide area.
Well, and thinking about this, of course, from all of your members at the Ag Retailers Association, I mean, these are the tools that they produce for farmers. And, you know, something that we talked about a bit, I'd love your thoughts on this. As we move forward here and see this strategy implemented, I know there's been a lot of folks in the industry who've been very vocal over the summer, but I would say now is not the time to necessarily take our foot off the gas. We need to keep reiterating how important these crop protection tools are to a sustainable food supply. Right, Darren?
Absolutely. We could not produce what we do today in the quality and quantity that we do as an industry without having all these tools in the toolbox. And, you know, there's room for all the different approaches, whether it's organic or whether it's conventional or any other wrinkle that a farmer wants to use. We're of the all of the above strategy for these tools, and it's vital that we stay on them. The movement in the report it was positive, but it's something that we need to sustain. And we talked, one of the early criticisms of the very first draft was that, hey, you guys didn't talk to anybody in ag before you put this report out. And to their credit, they came back to us and said, okay, tell us what's on your mind. And so I think that whole process contributed a lot to where this report ended up compared to the first one.
Well, and thinking about this report moving forward, again, we're going to be watching to see how this strategy and more is implemented, but seems like good news for the industry. Another topic I do want to make sure I talk to you about here on the show today is the topic surrounding critical minerals. I know ARA, along with the Fertilizer Institute, I saw this news a few days ago, you know, applauding that potash is on this critical minerals list. But what about phosphate? I know that's another issue. What are you seeing from the fertilizer input side? Talk to us about this critical minerals list and more, Darren.
Well, the whole idea behind that list is that it would streamline permitting for getting those critical minerals out of the ground. And so it would reduce prices and processing costs and permitting time and all that stuff to get these critical minerals into the supply chain. And so we're really happy to see potash on that list and relief from the Canadian tariffs that were contemplated on potash, since 85% of our potash comes from our neighbors to the north. But phosphate is also another mined mineral that's critical for agriculture, and it's not on the list. And phosphate prices are pretty high at the moment. Growers are under a lot of pressure. Anytime growers are under pressure, our retail members also feel that pressure. And so we think it makes a heck of a lot of sense to add phosphate to that list. It was part of the original request. I don't know if it was an oversight or what led to it not being on the final one, but we're hoping that we can correct that.
And, you know, I think this is a broader issue to think about amid all of the trade and tariff concerns, and you look at just input prices in general right now, fertilizer prices, a lot of farmers concerned about where things stand with a lot of those prices compared to commodity, you know, the price of commodities and more. So I think that trying to get some of these products onto a critical minerals list and seeing more of this, you know, getting pulled out of the ground, going to be super important here as we navigate this ag economy right now, Darren.
Any relief we can give to farmers is critical at the moment. They're feeling the squeeze from every side. And you look at what's going on in the equipment sector because of tariffs on steel. There's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of reduced demand in the equipment side that these farmers are going to feel too. But, you know, the phosphate is important not only as a fertilizer critical mineral, it's important in the production of glyphosate also, which is used on a whole lot of acres around our country and a pretty critical product. So it's important in a couple of ways.
Very true. Very true. We've got about a minute and a half here, Darren. Anything else you would add on that topic or back on the Mahab report or anything else happening with the Ag Retailers Association you would share with folks today?
Well, we're also working on some seasonal CDL relief legislation that Congressman Tracy Mann out of Kansas is leading for us. I think there's good momentum behind that that should provide some relief on the driver front. But I'd circle back to the point I think you made at the very first is, just because we have a small victory on where MAHA moved doesn't mean we can let up. We've got to keep the pressure on and dialogue open with the administration as they move to implement this report.
That is a great, great point. And, of course, a lot of things happening. And I know if folks want to stay up to date on issues that you guys are working on at the Agricultural Retailers Association, they can go online to aradc.org. That's aradc.org for more information. Darren Kopic, always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for making some time to join us today on the show. I know you're busy traveling and more. We'll look forward to having you back on down the road. Until then, have a great weekend, Darren. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. You too. Thank you.
Darren Kopic with the Agricultural Retailers Association joining us here today on Agriculture of America. And again, you know, plenty with this MAHA Commission report and a lot of positivity from folks in agriculture about how this all is shaped up and released. But again, still got to keep having those important conversations about these crop protection tools and just the practices that folks are doing in agriculture to make sure that people who are in these positions of power making these decisions like this MAHA report, making sure they know how important this is to agriculture. With that, we're out of time here on the show today. Thanks, as always, for joining us here for Agriculture of America. Find more at agricultureofamerica.com. With that, we'll let you go. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The FBI is...